August 3rd, 2016, in Ljubljana, Slovenia, reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 10, Maharaj Rahugana meet Jadabhata, Text 12. Vishesha Budher Vivaramanakcha Pasya Mayana Vyaharantaronyat Kaishvarastatra Kimishitavyam Tata Pirajam Karavamam Kimte. Please chant. Any of the ladies? Vishesha Buddhi, of the conception of the distinction between master and servant. Vivaram, the scope. Manak, a little. Cha, also. Pasyamaha, I see. Yet, which. Na, not. Vyavaharataha, then the temporary usage or convention. Anyat, other, kaha, who, Ishvara, the master, tatra, in this, kim, who, ishitavyam, is to be controlled, tatapi, nevertheless, rajam, O king, if you still think that you are master and I am servant, karavama, I may do, kim, what? Te. For you. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. My dear king, if you still think that you are the king and I am your servant, you should order me and I should follow your order. I can then say that this differentiation is temporary and it expands only from usage or convention. I do not see any other cause. In that case, who is the master and who is the servant? Everyone is being forced by the laws of material nature. Therefore, no one is master and no one is servant. Nonetheless, if you think that you are the master and that I am the servant, I shall accept this. Please order me. What can I do for you? Purport. It is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Aham Mameti, one thinks, I am this body, and in this bodily relationship, he is my master, he is my servant, she is my wife, and he is my son. All these conceptions are temporary, due to the inevitable change of body and the arrangement of material nature. We are gathered together like straws floating in the waves of an ocean, straws that are inevitably separated by the laws of the waves. In this material world, everyone is floating on the waves of the ocean of nations, as described by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Niche Maya Vase, Yachabeshe, Katshahabu Dubabai, Jiva Krishna Dase, Vishvas, Karli Kara Dukonai. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur states that all men and women are floating like straws on the waves of material nature. Just a little note here. It's interesting. I find that Srila Prabhupada says all men and women. But the only word that Bhakti Vinod uses in the Bengali is bhai. So it's quite common that words for the masculine are intended to include both men and women. Just like until the late 80s or the 90s in the English language, we would use he for both men and women. We would, even today we still say mankind. You know, and it was really only with the rise of feminism that we insisted that separate words be used for men and women, that women would not be included in men. So it's just, so we have, it's quite common that words for men and women are included in just a word for men, here as in bhai. So when Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes his songs and he's writing bhai, he's not only talking to men, he's, as Prabhupada's saying specifically here, he's speaking to men and women. Going on, if they come to the understanding that they are the eternal servants of Krishna, they will put an end to this floating condition. So the floating condition means floating in the river where sometimes you're here, sometimes you're there. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 3:37, Kama Esha Krodha Esha Rajaguna Samudbhava, which is exactly what we talked about yesterday evening. Due to the mode of passion, we desire many things, and according to our desire or anxiety, and according to the order of the Supreme Lord, material nature gives us a certain type of body. For some time, we play as master or servant, as actors play on the stage under someone else's direction. While we are in the human form, we should put an end to this nonsensical stage performance. We should come to our original constitutional position, known as Krishna consciousness. At the present moment, the real master is material nature, Daivyesha Gunamayi Mama Maya Dharajaya, Bhagavad Gita 7:14. Under the spell of material nature, we are becoming servants and masters, but if we agree to be controlled by the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His eternal servants, this temporary condition ceases to exist. Vishesha buddhir vivaram manakcha pasyam ayan na vyavahar atoinyat ka ishvaras tatra kim ishitavyam tada birajan karavam kim te. My dear king, if you still think that you are the king and that I am your servant, you should order me, and I should follow your order. I can then say that this differentiation is temporary, and it expands only from usage or convention. I do not see any other cause. In that case, who is the master and who is the servant? Everyone is being forced by the laws of material nature, therefore no one is master and no one is servant. Nonetheless, if you think that you are the master and that I am the servant, I shall accept this. Please order me. What can I do for you? So this verse deals with a number of very interesting points, but particularly it deals with how do we deal in this world with the consciousness that I am a soul. Now, we were talking yesterday about identity, right? That we should act on the basis of the identity that I'm Krishna's servant, as Prabhupada quotes here, Jiva Krishna Das Avishvas Kalihe Karlitaha Dukha Nai. You won't have any unhappiness. This was just what we were talking about yesterday. We won't have any suffering if we identify ourselves as the soul. But yet, we have to work in this world according to convention, right? So generally, people in this world are going to expect us to act like Prabhupada says here. He is my master, he is my servant, she is my wife, and he is my son. So a person has a job, and in the job they have a boss. And they may have also a subordinate. So they have someone who's in charge of them. And then they're in charge of someone. And then they have their family relationships. And we need to act according to that also. And this is, it can be a problem because sometimes they don't seem to be in harmony. Isn't it? Prabhupada talks about this in Bhagavad Gita 9:30, Apichet Sutarajaro, where he says that we have our constitutional position and our conditional position. And generally, they run in parallel. They should run in parallel because the way that we should do our conditional position should also be according to the Shastra. That's the whole idea of Varnashram. Varnashram is take your conditional position on this person's employer, on this person's employee, on this person's wife, husband, whatever. And that should be done according to the Shastra, which will then should make it in harmony with Jivarasvarupaya Krishnara Nityadasa. I am always Krishna's servant. However, even in a Vedic Varnashram society, that didn't always work out. Sometimes your role within Varnashram and your role as Krishna's servant were in opposition to each other. Correct? Can you think of some example in the Shastra of where a person's role in Varnashram and their identity as Krishna's servant came into opposition with one another? Well, Judd Bard here. Yes. So he has a role that I'm the king's servant, and yet he has a role that I'm Krishna's servant, and they're not exactly the same, because to be the king's servant, he just walks, and to be Krishna's servant, he doesn't step on the ants. Some other example. Yes. The gopis, of course. Some more examples. Come on. It's not even 8:30 in the morning. I can understand, you know, if it was at 8:30 at night, but it's only 8:30 in the morning. And you've all just been chanting Hare Krishna for the last few hours. You should be very alert and awake. Come on, come on. And this is a temple where you all study, you know. Probably most of you have Bhaktivedanta degrees in this room. So come on, who's there in the Shastra that had a conflict between their mundane dharma and their transcendental dharma?
Arjuna.
He's the relative, the junior relative of Bhishma. He's the disciple of Drona. And yet his transcendental dharma was to kill them. That's pretty heavy, by the way, if you really think about that. Okay, who else? Haridas Thakur, yes, that he was expected to be a good Muslim. Yes, excellent. Some other examples.
Yudhishthira
also. His dharma of being Dharmaraj and Krishna asking him to lie. That he kept leaving his duties, that Gopa Kumar kept leaving his duties all the time. But he did that. He kept he kept quitting being the in charge of things. Yeah. Yeah. God, there's so many. Bhishma. Now Bhishma made the other choice though. Bhishma followed his mundane dharma instead of a transcendental dharma. Of course. He was also following his transcendental dharma in chivalry. ISKCON devotees in general. Well, let's right now stick with Shastra. Otherwise, it's going to get very complicated. Who else in the Shastra had a conflict between their ordinary material duties and their spiritual duties? Prahlad Maharaj. You don't stand there and watch somebody kill your father and garland the killer. That's not your material duty. You know, your material duty is to stop the killer, but he welcomed the killer of his father, yes. Rukmini, who disobeyed her father and her brother to run off with Krishna. You know, her father didn't want to come to the wedding because of that. Balaram had to convince him. To come. Mirabai, yes, definitely.
Actually, a lot of these Vaishnavas.
A lot of ladies, yeah.
It's a little bit conflict.
Yeah, it does seem to be particularly conflict for women, the wives of the Brahmanas. Yeah. Gangamata Goswamini also. Her parents made her the queen. And she left the kingdom and went to Radhakund to do austerities. Oh, Rupa and Sanatan, very good. They had their duty to the Muslim. And look what Sanatan Goswami did. He lied to the jailkeeper. He said he was going to Mecca. And he bribed the jailkeeper. What about Raghunath Das Goswami? He ran away from home, ran away from his wife. And he lied to his guru. You know, his guru came and said, please, I have a brahmana who's the pujari, he's not doing his duty. You go and convince him that he should do his duty. And Raghunath Das Goswami said, yes, yes, you don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. Go home. I'll go talk to the pujari. And he didn't. He just went to Jagannath Puri. Srila
Prabhupada.
Srila Prabhupada. Yes. Gadadhar Pandit, who had a vow of Kshetra Sannyas, and he kept following Lord Chaitanya. Right? And finally Lord Chaitanya said, all right, you've broken your vow already. You can go home. Sarabhauma Madhacharya, when he took the prasadam. So, Bali Maharaj, when he refused to follow his spiritual master's instruction. Dhruva. Yes, he didn't. He was supposed to stay home. He was just a little boy. He wasn't supposed to run away from home.
So many.
Practically everybody, right? We have so many. I told you there were lots of examples. So we have so many. And then we have a son who did the wrong thing. Bharat in his previous life made the wrong decision. As a king, your duty is to protect the citizens, which include the animals. The Prabhupada's always making that point, that the king protects the praja, anyone who's born in their society. And that includes the animals, the plants. So he retired. He became a vanaprastha. When you become a vanaprastha, you're supposed to give up your varna. This is true everywhere in the world. When you retire, you give up your job. That's what it means to retire, correct? Yes? In Slovenia, do people retire? I'm getting kind of blank looks. Do people retire here in this country? Yes? Of course. So that, what does that mean? What means you retire? It means you stop your work to get an income. And your varna is how you work to get an income. So Bharat Maharaj was supposed to have given up being the king. In fact, when Ram and Sita were exiled, and Ram met the sages, the sages said, you know, we're being attacked by demons. Can you please protect us? And Ram said, yes, I will protect you. Of course, they had their bows and arrows, Ram and Lakshman, and they weren't vanaprastas. They were being exiled, and they were living in the vana, so they were technically vanaprastas, but they hadn't accepted the vanaprasta order. And as they left the sage, Sita said to Ram, but I thought we're supposed to be here in a mood of renunciation. You're not the king. What are you doing vowing to do the duties of a king? That's not your dharma here. And he said, no. He said, I'm Bharat's servant, and technically I'm the king with the arrangement I made with Bharat. And he said, anyway, I already promised. But this is this conception that when you retire, you don't do your varna duties anymore. So Bharat Maharaj, after he retired to the forest, he wasn't supposed to be protecting the citizens anymore. It wasn't his duty anymore. But he got in that mood when he saw the orphaned baby deer. I'm the protector. And because he chose that lower dharma over his higher dharma, he had all kinds of problems. So we also have instances of that, people choosing a lower dharma over a higher dharma. Karna is a good example of that. Daksha is another good example of choosing a lower dharma over a higher dharma. He does that several times. He does that in the original sacrifice where he expects Lord Shiva to... There's an example. Lord Shiva didn't stand up to his father-in-law. So Lord Shiva was choosing the higher dharma, and Daksha criticized him for choosing the lower... Parashuram. Yes. He also... Indra. Oh, wow. Indra has a lot of problems with choosing the lower dharma. You know, Indra seems to do that rather consistently. I mean, Indra's, by the way, a very great devotee. He's probably a much better devotee than I am, for sure. But he's a very great devotee. But he tends to choose the lower dharma rather than the higher dharma. So what do we do? I mean, most of the time, these things should be in harmony. Generally, they should be in harmony. I can be both a wife and a servant of Krishna. I can be both, a banker and a servant of Krishna. Generally, I can do both. They work together. And if we had a society that was run according to Varnashram principles, then they should work together most of the time. A lot of the problem we have trying to be a devotee of Krishna in the modern society is that modern society doesn't follow Varnashram principles. So it's very hard to, follow all the principles of being a devotee and be a good college professor and be a banker and be a husband. And you understand what I'm saying? We end up in this sort of dharma sankat, this dharmic dilemma, much more often than people would have in former societies. So let's just look, we're not going to take a lot of time today, but let's just look briefly. So first we have these false roles of master and servant. It's interesting, the Sanskrit just says vivesha buddhir, which means seeing things separately. And Srila Prabhupada translates that as seeing the difference between master and servant. So in the material world, actually even in the spiritual world, but in the material world, there's hierarchy. Nobody is completely, absolutely, totally equal to anybody else. Right? It just isn't like that. In some ways, you're better than others. In some ways, you're worse than others. And we have, I guess if you have a twin sibling, then you'd be completely equal. But even twin siblings have different abilities. But as far as social status, everyone we interact with, we have a particular social status. So this question was being asked of me in the car on the way here, that when we pass around the ghee lamp, and this was, in Germany, so Dina Sharana Devi Dasi is the GBC. So they said, when our GBC is visiting, she's a woman, but she's also the GBC. So if she's there and then there's a sannyasi there who's not a Prabhupada disciple, who gets the ghee lamp first? Is the GBC over everybody? What's the order of hierarchy? So, of course, I told him that when Prabhupada was here, we didn't pass around the ghee lamp by order of hierarchy at all. And it depends where you are. If you're in Alachua, where there's, 200 Prabhupada disciples, nobody bothers about any orders of hierarchy. They just go from the front of the room to the back, and there's 1,000 devotees in the temple room. They don't go looking around for the order of hierarchy. Same in Mayapur or Vrindavan. But there was this, we were having a whole discussion about what is the order of hierarchy. Who's higher than whom? Rita Ananda Maharaj just recently published a long paper about GBC laws, showing that the way ISKCON laws are, the GBC is above everybody. But how does it work? So if you're a sannyasi who's not a GBC, or if you're a GBC who's a woman, or you're a guru who's not a sannyasi. One devotee was also telling me, someone said, before Krishna Kshetra Maharaj took sannyas, who's your guru? Oh, Krishna Kshetra Prabhu. Oh, okay, but who's your guru? No, Krishna Kshetra Prabhu. No, but who's your guru? They just couldn't understand that you could have a guru who wasn't a sannyasi. So, how do you work this out? What's the material hierarchy? So this material hierarchy, Prabhupada said, of course, is determined differently in different societies, right? So depending on what culture you're in will determine a lot of the material hierarchy. Does that make sense to everybody? Yes? And how you deal with it? Just like Prabhupada says, the woman doesn't call her husband by name. She calls him master. Of course, he also says the husband doesn't call his wife by name. He calls her goddess. My dear master, my dear goddess. But, in Western society, many husbands and wives call each other by name. Hi, Sam. Hi, Julie. Right? They don't have this kind of hierarchy. Or I had a real shock when I took one of my grandsons, Vikram, directly from the big island of Hawaii to Bahrain. So in Bahrain, it's a very traditional Islamic society. And then most of the devotees there are from Indian Hindu families from India. And on the big island of Hawaii, we don't observe much hierarchical status stuff. Pretty much everybody's buddy. So I didn't realize this until I took him from one culture to another. So where we live in Hawaii, his parents' friends, he calls by their first names. So, you know, like Sri Dhamma, who's older than his father, he just says, "Hey, Sri Dhamma, how are you doing?" You know, and Sri Dhamma's wife, Gaurangi, who again is the same age or older than his mother, "Oh, hi, Gaurangi, hi, Sri Dhamma." He doesn't use any kind of honorific or title or etiquette. So then I didn't really think about it until I took him to Bahrain and we're staying at the house of Pavanimai Das and his wife, Kanai Priya Devi Dasi. And Vikram is just saying, "Hey, Pavan!" And I was like, "Oh my God. Oh my God." You know, and everyone's looking at him like, uncultured boy. It took him about a week to get into the, you know, I said, "No, no, no, call him Prabhu, and you gotta be." So there's different systems of hierarchy and status in different cultures. One of the most fascinating things, you know, I'm also a sociologist. It's one of the most fascinating things I read. There was a Korean airline that had a lot of plane crashes, more plane crashes than most airlines. And they figured out the crashes usually happened when the pilot was flying and the co-pilot noticed a problem. So Korea is a very hierarchical, status-conscious society. And the co-pilot didn't want to tell the pilot there was a problem. He'd say, "You know, you might want to kind of look starboard 30 degrees. I think there might be whoop, into the mountain." That was what was happening. And the pilots and the co-pilots both considered the people in the control tower to be of a higher status. So they wouldn't tell the people in the control tower what their problems were. They would just say, "Oh, we're getting a little low on fuel. I think we should..." They wouldn't say, "We have 5 minutes of fuel left." Because you shouldn't talk like that to a superior. So the way that they solve this problem, interestingly enough, Korean has 15 different ways of saying "you," depending on the status. So they made all the pilots and the co-pilots, this is going to be really funny, learn English, which is not a very hierarchical language. And they also taught them a different culture, and they gave them pride in it. This is the pilot's culture, you know, and they taught them an egalitarian culture. So we have our relationships in this world, and in each of our relationships, I'm higher than you in some way, and I'm equal to you in some way, and I'm lower to you in some way. And we're always figuring out in this world, what is my relationship of higher and lower? Who is the master? Who is the servant? Yes? Are we doing this? We're actually doing it constantly. I had a very strange experience once in London. I went into a shop, and the person who was working there, I could not tell if it was a male or a female. I just absolutely could not tell him. And the person had a name tag on, but the name wasn't distinctly male or female. And I kept thinking, "Is it a woman?" "Yeah, it's a woman." "No, it's a man." "I said, yeah, it's a man." "No, it's a woman." "No, it's a man." And when I left the shop, I thought, why was I even thinking about this? Why didn't I just buy the soap and leave the shop? You know, why was this bothering me? And I thought, well, I behave differently. If I behave differently with a woman than I do with a man. I don't have the same dealings. I don't have the same behavior. So without knowing this person's status, I didn't know how to act. I didn't have a key as to how to act. So we have these considerations, and therefore Jed Bard is saying, you know, sure, if you want to think that you're the king and you want to think that I'm the servant, that's fine. What do you want me to do? I'll do it. I'll play the game. And generally, devotees, this is what we do. We figure out, you know, what's the material situation, who's higher than who, who's in charge of who has what duties in the world, and we play that game. Prabhupada talks about it as a game. He said, as actors play on the stage. You know, it's very, very much like you're in a drama, and in the drama you play a role. And you play the role. I mean, one of my strangest experiences was at a Govardhan retreat where I was in the drama as Jatila. And my daughter was in the drama as Krishna. But Krishna disguised as a girl. So in the drama, there's Krishna as a lady doctor being played by my actual daughter. So in the drama, I lost both my daughter and I lost all consciousness that we had a relationship as mother and daughter. That our awareness of that was completely gone. And in fact, I didn't even have any awareness that it was Krishna when I was in the drama. When I was in the drama, my only awareness was that this is a lady doctor who's coming to cure Radharani of a snake bite. I was not aware that it was Krishna disguised as a lady doctor. And I certainly wasn't aware that it was my daughter disguised as Krishna, disguised as a lady doctor. I really wasn't aware of it at all when I was in the drama. Because if you are aware of it, then it's not a very good drama. You don't play the drama very well. You understand? But we want to be very careful in this world that we don't lose all awareness that we're a soul. You follow? That's the problem. So, okay, we can say as devotees, we can follow Judd Bard here, and also says, I think in the 7th canto, that if your relatives and friends tell you to do something that's not exactly according to the Shastra, you just say yes, 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 and then you do whatever you want. It says that in the Bhagavatam. Don't blame me, please. So, you know, we have a lot of emphasis in our movement by certain persons, particularly on following Varnashram, which Prabhupada says you can't follow perfectly in Kali Yuga anyway. But at least the principles of Varnashram. But we need to be very careful. We can do what Judd Bart here is doing and saying, okay, fine, fine, fine. You're the king. I'm the servant. I'm going to do whatever you say. But if we become like what happened to me in the drama and we think, you know, that was good in the drama because that was for the pleasure of Giriraj and all the devotees, and I was supposed to forget that I was Urmila, and that, you know, I was supposed to forget that. But in our normal life, if we forget that Jivara Swarupaya Krishna and Nityadasha, if we forget that, and we really, really start to believe, I am a son of this person, I am the husband of this person is my master, this person is my servant, I am the master. If we really, I mean, then we're going to just waste our whole time. And so Prabhupada said, while we are in this human form, we should put an end to this nonsensical stage performance. Don't you love Prabhupada straight talking like that? It's I find it very endearing, you know. While we are in the human form, we should put an end to this nonsensical stage performance. Does that mean we all just say, oh yeah, I'm not your wife anymore, I'm just Krishna's servant. You know, forget about you. We've seen devotees do this, by the way. We've seen devotees do this. I'm just going to run around the world following my guru and cooking for my guru and dressing the deities, and maybe you can have some leftover warmed up prasadam. Maybe. I can't count the number of families I meet who don't want to have children because they think it will interfere with their service. If you're a grihastha, that is your service. But anyway, so many people who say this. Or, you know, the man who's like, well, you know, I'm just going to study Bhagavatam all day long and I can't bother to earn any money. So we have this kind of problem, right? And because we have this kind of problem, sometimes, I was talking to some devotees who run a restaurant, and I said, oh, so you serve prasadam? And they said, well, not really. I said, well, why not? They said, well, we got rid of all of the devotees. I said, why? They said it was so much trouble to have the devotees. They wouldn't work an eight-hour day. They'd say, you know, we have our sadhana already for 6 hours a day. We can only work another 4 hours. And then, you know, they just wouldn't show up. But where were you? Oh, you know, my Guru Maharaj in town. You knew that, right? I mean, well, I can't come when my Guru Maharaj is in town. But the customers are here. Oh, well, you know, or where were you yesterday? Yeah, it was Narottama Das Thakur's appearance day. I can't come to work. I had to sit down and meditate on his songs. And You know? Have you cooked the lasagna yet? Oh, no, Prabhu, I had to go finish my rounds. They said it was just madness, you know, trying to have devotees as employees. And the other way, too. I mean, I one time asked some devotees, I said, why are you working for the non-devotees when the devotees have something that, I don't want to be too explicit because you'll know what I'm talking about. The devotees have a business that perfectly engages your occupation. And they said, oh, well, when we worked for the devotee company, they said, you know, this is a service. And so they expected us to work 7 days a week, 12 hours a day. And we didn't have any time for our sadhana or our families or our other preaching. They said, so we quit working for the devotees. Now we're working for the non-devotees. Now we have plenty of time for sadhana and our families and our preaching. So sometimes we have this problem in the Hare Krishna movement that we neglect our ordinary duties in the world. We misdo our ordinary duties in the world in the name of Krishna consciousness. Like Prabhupada said, Arjuna wanted to skillfully avoid the battle in the name of Krishna consciousness. Krishna, I can't surrender to you because then, you know, that would be Maya. I wouldn't be a compassionate, soft-hearted, kind person. I should just be doing Buddha yoga in the Himalayas. So we have that problem also. But we should quit this nonsensical stage performance. Externally, usually, we should do our duties so expertly that nobody even suspects that we're becoming self-realized devotees. Right? Just like Rupa Goswami says, he says that when a married person has an illicit lover, that they usually become more expert. Right? This became a problem for me. There was a book going around the movement in the early days, very secretly, because we were only supposed to read Prabhupada's books, about how to be a good wife. You know, it was being passed around secretly from one woman to the other. Shh, don't tell anybody we're reading something that's not Prabhupada's books. So I read this book about how to be a good wife, and then I realized that up until that time, I'd been a really bad wife. And I thought, wow, you know, I really should get my act together. So I started following everything in the book. And then my husband said, what happened to you? He said, all of a sudden, you're such a good wife. He said, Rupa Goswami says, if you're having an affair, then you're going to be a better wife. He said, you must be having an affair. And I'm like, oh, great. I said, this is my reward for becoming a better wife, you know. And then I had to show him the book, you know, and to say, well, actually, I've read this book. And he's like, oh, okay. But it was a little unpleasant there for a few minutes. Yeah. So Rupa Goswami says that. He says, you know, if you have some illicit lover, that then you do your duties better so nobody will suspect. Right? So it's like that. We have this secret that I'm Jivara Swarupaya, Krishnara Nityadasa. I call this a secret agent principle. And so therefore we try to do our duties even better in the world. But we never, ever should get in the mentality that these duties in the world are my identity. You have to be very careful. When you're putting on a stage performance, you do tend to get into the identity of the character that you're playing. You know, there's that famous actress Meryl Streep, right? So her husband said, I feel like I've been married to 1,000 women. Because, you know, she'll be on the stage or in the whatever, and she comes home and she's still in that character. You understand? Yeah. Just like the Prabhupada told the devotees, be a lion on the chase and a lamb at home. You know, you can be aggressive on Sankirtan, but don't come home to the temple and be aggressive. You know, I'd spend all day teaching children, and then my husband would say, look, you're not teaching children anymore, I'm your husband. You know, I'm not one of your students. So we shouldn't get so absorbed in our material designations. I am this person's wife, I am this person's son, I am the boss at the bank, I am a brahmachari living in the ashram. You know, that we forget the Jivara Swarupaya Krishnara Nityadasa. That should actually be our primary identification. And the other we do just out of convention, as Prabhupada says here. Just out of convention. as service. As service. I'll take care of my mother as service. I'll take care of my child as service. Take care of the employees in the bank as service. But just service. And if it's not service, then we should always choose the higher duty if there's a conflict. So I was supposed to end class early and not have questions. I think we can have just a few. We can have like 5 minutes if anyone has any questions. Yes. Fascinating Womanhood by Helen Andelin. Her husband wrote one called Man of Steel and Velvet. I forget his first name. They're Christians, and they were just excellent books. I remember one thing in particular that really struck me. She gives the example that the man isn't earning enough money, and he's really in anxiety about money, and he comes home and he says, you know, I just don't feel like I can earn enough money. And the wife says to him, well, you know, I do a lot of austerities. I sew our own clothes and I bake our own bread. You know, I'm there helping you. And she said, this is the kind of thing a woman would say to another woman. She said, but if you say that to your husband, it says to him, yeah, you're right, you're a failure. And she says the woman instead should say to the husband, yeah, I know it's really tough. I'm so proud of you for being a hero and going out there, even though it's so hard. And I went, oh my God, I've been doing this completely wrong from day one. And that was that one particular thing really struck me. That how a woman supports another woman and how a woman supports her husband are very different. It's funny because Prabhupada said we didn't need to give the girls training to be wives and mothers. They could just associate with other wives and mothers. But the problem is the other wives and mothers you associate with don't know what they're doing. So this is a problem. Prabhupada never imagined that people would need to read a book about how to be a good wife. That was just beyond his... You have to read a book to be a good wife? You just do what your mother and grandma and aunties do, but, you know... My mother was a terrible wife. So, I mean, she was chaste and faithful, but she wasn't very respectful. So, you know, we have a problem with that. So therefore, you know, we started the Grahastha Vision team in North America, where we teach people how to be a good husband, how to be a good wife, how to be a good mother and father. And it's desperately needed. Like, what do I do? I don't know. People come from families where their father left when they were 1 year old and their mother had five other husbands and their father had five other wives, and right? And if you just say, well, Prabhupada said you don't need to learn, just follow the example, you're like, ah! Oh, Krishna. Anything else? Okay, well, thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.